Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Oh, I tell you, Jennifer, she is really a party pooper.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Jennifer poops at parties. So she poops at parties, so and people know this.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
I poop at parties. I poop at parties, but people don't know because I close the door.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Where does she go for it? Does she visit a water closet and make door of the open so people may see and smell things? This sound horrible.
The Fan. New York streets
will kill us a walk. Hey, let's do this final hour, Dirt and Sprague, on a Thursday. Thanks for being with us on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Hope everybody out there is doing okay. What are we in? Week two now, this being the new normal?
You know, it feels like the entire month, so I'm going to say 26 days. But yeah, okay. Let's go with week two.
I think 2 weeks ago yesterday was when everything was like canceled and shut down, and this has been the new norm. It feels like that's
about, I think, with
right.
Sports, you're technically
yeah,
right.
Yeah, with 2 weeks. At least, yeah. Well, today should have been opening day. We would have been watching baseball games from start to finish, from morning to night, all over the country. And a sad reminder of the new reality that we are in. But what the hell, let's talk some baseball anyways. Corey Brock, our friend, at Corey Brock MLB. Go give him a follow on Twitter. Covers the Mariners for The Athletic. Corey, thanks so much for the time, man. I'll just start. How are you doing? How are you and your family doing?
Yeah, you say thanks for the time. I got plenty of time. yeah, you know, we're hanging in there. I have six-year-old twins, and mom is working from home, too. So it's a little challenging, I guess I should say, but we built in a lot of time for PE and snacks. Mm. So we're hanging in there. But, yeah, certainly understanding the situation we're in the country now with the coronavirus. But, yeah, you guys touched upon it in the open there. It's opening day for me is not just the best day of the baseball season. I think it's one of the best days in sports, and it's really a shame we don't get a chance to go through that at this time of year.
I think the dangerous part for parents that have to stay home right now because they have kids or they can't go to work is it's snack time, because you over-snack and your kids get the perfect amounts and then you gain weight. But look, you mentioned how it's maybe the best day in sports. Could you put into words, because we were trying to do this in the open, of just how much it sucks, whether your team was going to be good or bad. Everybody just has that eternal hope because of spring and summer being around the corner. You know, what was one of your first memories of opening day? And then even as a beat writer, you're not supposed to root for the team, but what it's like to be in a ballpark and smell that atmosphere for the first time.
Oh man, it's great. I think especially since there's such a long layoff between the end of the season and the start of the new one. And yeah, you're right. Regardless of how you feel about your team's chances, and certainly understanding where the Mariners are in their rebuild, there's just something cool about opening day. And, you know, they roll out the red carpet. I mean, literally roll out the red carpet for the players to run down during the opening ceremonies. It's really cool for me. You know, I grew up in Gig Harbor outside of Tacoma, so I got a chance to go to a lot of games in the Kingdome as a kid. Yes, I'm that old. And, you know, I love the Kingdome. And I wrote a piece today for The Athletic about a game. 1986, it was opening day in the Kingdome, Mariners against the Angels. And it was like the greatest game. I was 16 at the time. Jim Presley hit a two-run home run to tie the game in the bottom of the ninth. And then he won it on a walk-off grand slam. And, you know, it's like me and 800 of my closest friends at that point watching the game, right? But it was really cool. And it was just, it's just something special. I mean, the baseball season's long. There's a lot of games. Not a whole lot of breaks, but on that first day, man, everyone's amped up, they're excited, and like I said, it's truly one of the best days in sports.
Yeah, everybody feels like they got a chance. Hope springs eternal, the start of a new year, heading towards the summer. Great memories. Corey Brock, our guest, covers the Mariners. Go give him a follow on Twitter, at Corey Brock MLB. One of the trends that we've seen from people as of late, and we've kind of done this as a show, where we've started to go back and watch old sporting events just to turn one on. A lot of Mariner fans recently, because the MLB Network was re-airing it, the 95 game against the Yankees. You go back and you watch it and you reminisce. Are there any games that are like in your Rolodex that either you have or you want to go back and rewatch, whether they be Mariner related or just general baseball games?
You know, I'd love to tell you that I've grown tired of watching that last game against the Yankees in 95 in the playoffs, but I'd be lying. Whenever that pops on or comes up, I find myself watching it. I was there that day as a young reporter. It's still probably one of the loudest atmospheres I've ever witnessed. But you know what? I'd go back a week before then, guys. If you remember, boy, that was an interesting time for the Mariners, not just as a team, but as a franchise. You know, they're trying to get the new stadium approved. It actually failed on the ballot the first time. And then the Mariners came back from the dead in September, forced that one-game playoff against the Angels. And actually, Mark Langston, the former Mariner, was pitching. And remember, that's when Luis Soho hit that ball down the first baseline, the Little League Grand Slam, everybody scores. You know, if they don't win that game, they don't get in. There's no Edgar double. There's no magical playoff run. And you know what? There might not be a new stadium and a team in Seattle. So for me, that day was pretty wild as well. But yeah, I have a bunch of games scattered throughout the Rolodex, like you say, throughout time. But, you know, those ones in 95, there's probably a handful of those that year. It was just such a special year and really an important year for the sake of the franchise.
Yeah, I went back and watched Glavine win the World Series in Game 6 of the 95 World Series against Cleveland. It just felt good to have it on the TV and reminisce of some good memories. What are your thoughts on the Scott Boras play the World Series and Christmas idea, and kind of a two-parter based on just your perception of where Major League Baseball is? Rob Manfred's done some interviews. Do you feel like we're going to have a season?
Yeah, I think we're going to have a season. I think it's completely unrealistic to expect an 162 game season and stretching the year, you know, deep into really into winter.
Right.
And even just because a lot of places can't accommodate that for weather and for whatever reason. So I think what you're going to see is a truncated schedule. You know, maybe these teams start up in June, maybe July 1st at the latest, maybe play 81 or so games. I'm not sure if they're going to rip the schedule up and start over, which I think would be hard because, you know, a lot of these stadiums already have events pre-planned when the team's out of town, concerts, things of that nature. So maybe you just sort of pick up where the schedule is, like I say, on June 1st, on July 1st, and you squeeze in as many games as you can. But yeah, if they do want to play into October, I get it. I just don't think you could stretch this past the final day of October. I think it's just going to be too tough. And then you're also running into football, which, as we know, rules everything.
Right. You want to get as far away from football as you can in December, and that's kind of prime football territory. Corey Brock, our guest, covers the Mariners. Go give him a follow on Twitter, at Corey Brock MLB. It would be a fun case study, too, to see how much excitement comes from a shortened season. Like, it's been an argument for a long time of the season's too long, there's too many games. Well, hey, maybe end up only playing 60-something games, and maybe the atmosphere and the product is that much better. I will ask you, though, when the Mariners do come around, I know they're not expecting much this season and they're still in that rebuild mode, but what are some of the storylines that when the season gets around to playing again that you're most looking forward to covering or talking about with the Mariners?
Yeah, probably first and foremost, guys, is the young players. I think this is a very big season for them in terms of evaluation of some of the younger players on the roster and a lot of guys who are on the cusp of making the major leagues. So I think this is where a shortened season hurts in terms of getting a chance to see Logan Gilbert, their first-round pick from 2018, a pitcher. And then, of course, you know, the big fish in the system is Jared Kelnick, the outfielder who they got from the Mets and the Robinson Cano deal. You know, I expected those guys to show up in the summer over the course of a regular season. So I think it's going to hurt from a visibility standpoint of maybe not seeing all of the top prospects. But for me, and I think also for the organization, it's even though you're not contending, they've been transparent about that. They need to see what they have in these young guys to determine, hey, these are the guys we're going to build around as we move into 2021. This is the second year of a rebuild. In the third year, you're going to want to see some results. So I think they have to come away with some answers whenever the season ends, of knowing who you're going to be building around and maybe who's not part of the picture.
Well, Corey, you know, Mariner fan, I think the patience for them is probably long gone given the drought to even make the postseason, let alone be a consistent winning team. But they get Jerry Dipoto in 2015. I'm just kind of curious. You know, he came in and you go get Robinson Cano, and I think people think, okay, we're going that direction. And then he kind of blows it up and admittedly says, yeah, this is going to be a bit of a rebuild and we might be tanking. Is there pressure? Is there a hot seat for Jerry Dipoto, or are they going to really let him try to rebuild this thing from the ground up and have some patience and give him a couple more years?
Yeah, and you know, in all fairness to him, he came in after the Cano deal was made. That was
you're right.
But
yeah.
You know, he did inherit kind of a older, aging roster. And you remember 2018 was a strong season. They played really well. They didn't make the playoffs. The A's caught fire and passed them. And so, kind of faced with the decision of, hey, do we try and squeeze one more competitive year out of this aging roster, or do we kind of try and dial it back? Acquire some assets, build through the draft. Really, I think it was their only path now that, you know, we've had some distance from then, and I think it was probably the smart way to go. It certainly doesn't guarantee you anything. I mean, prospects are wonderful, right. Unless, you know, they still need to develop into everyday major league players, even if they're not impact players. So, you know, time will tell, but I will say that, you know, Jerry's future and really that of the organization is tied to this rebuild. You know, if it works, it's great. And, you know, Seattle maybe finally gets a team it could wrap its arms around and, you know, get back to the playoffs for the first time since 2001. If it doesn't, then I think things could get pretty ugly and you're basically starting from scratch.
Yeah. Prospects are great, but it's always a big gamble. Your Twitter profile says you're a craft beer snob. So what craft beers have helped you through the quarantine?
Oh, good question, guys. Well, you know, I'm a Southwest Washington guy, so I get a chance to pop over, get some Breakside, Great Notion, Ruse, R-U-S-E is another favorite of mine, and then we have some good ones in Vancouver, Trapdoor and Brothers Cascadia. So we could have a whole other segment on beer if you guys want. Maybe next month we'll get to that point, right?
Yeah, maybe we'll be able to not have social distancing and we could start drinking together at that point.
Let's have a live feed at one of these places.
Why the quote-unquote beer snob? Is that more sarcasm or do you actually kind of judge people on certain beers and you just have like that taste for good craft versus seeing what people are actually drinking, maybe judging them a little bit?
Yeah, there'll always be some judgment when people are drinking some macro beers. I've been known to kind of convert some people into drinking local craft beer. And plus, I think it's important that we support these local breweries, and not just now, especially now, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is going to be a tough time for everybody, but, you know, the rest of the year as well. And by and large, we're really spoiled here. I've been across the country covering baseball and have sampled a lot of beers in a lot of places, and we are truly spoiled in the Northwest. I mean, Portland and Seattle. So, for me, I kind of know what I like. I know what I don't like, but I will stretch my legs and try a few different things. And that's what's cool about a lot of the brewers in the Northwest. They're not afraid to take some chances.
Yeah.
Real quick, just on the the Portland Major League Baseball storyline that kind of always lingers there, and we have a group that's trying to get them over here. How much would the Seattle Mariners get in the way of that? Like, would they push back against it just a little bit and then get out of the way? Do you think they'd have a huge problem just because of the Portland-based fans who maybe make the occasional trip up and have become Seattle Mariner fans via being so close?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've kind of asked this, and, you know, you can never really get a straight answer for anyone because, you know, the Mariners are kind of a territorial team, right? And Their television and their radio expands into Oregon, British Columbia, Idaho, even some parts of Montana and Alaska. So, you know, I don't know if there would be a lot of resistance there. I don't know how much it would hurt them. I seem to think that, you know, going nearly 20 years without a playoff appearance would seem to hurt more. And, you know, and they've struggled in terms of attendance and television ratings. So maybe some resistance, but, you know, I would hope that they wouldn't stand in the way of that. And I think it would be great. I think it would be well supported here in the Portland, Southwest Washington area. But, you know, we're kind of at a point where nothing can really happen until baseball determines that. So it seems like a whole lot of weight. If you ask me now if Major League Baseball is going to be in Portland in 5 years, I would probably say no, but that doesn't mean it's not coming.
Right. It's a great point. Corey Brock, go give him a follow on Twitter at Corey Brock MLB. Our friend from The Athletic covers the Mariners. Thank you so much for the time, man. Stay safe. The best to you and your family, and we look forward to talking again here soon.
Yeah, you guys as well. Hit me up anytime, please.
Absolutely. Corey Brock, go give him a follow on Twitter. Great Mariner writer. Yeah, look at that one. If the Sonics and the Blazers can survive next to each other for decades, like Major League Baseball will be just fine. And if they're scared about losing fans, put a damn winning team on the field.
I was going to say, yeah.
Don't make that like a losing your market thing.
They don't have a lot of ground to stand on if you're going 20-plus years of not even making the postseason.
You got the longest postseason drought in all of sports. You're the only team in the history of Major League Baseball that hasn't been to a World Series. You got bigger fish to fry than worrying about some of your fans in the Vancouver area peeling off and rooting for another organization. But it is fun just to talk a little baseball because today would have been opening day. And it's just fun to reminisce a little bit. Let's get to Swag's Bag of Plums. Are they ripe on this Thursday? Also, we have photo ideas for his swagbeefcake.com website. We'll rattle through those and see what's in his bag of plums next on The Fan. Yeah! Hey, we'll break down Hunters episode 5 at the bottom of the hour. You guys are only one behind me now. We're almost all caught up.
Did you see what baseball's doing?
No, what is baseball doing?
Michael Rubin came out. He's one of the partnering owners. He's part of the group that we talked about how they're going to cut some salary. And they got shamed into not doing it. Well, Major League Baseball announced that they've halted jersey making and they're using those materials to make masks and gowns for all the people that are currently fighting this at different hospitals and clinics.
That's awesome.
A million masks.
Wow. I saw a story along those lines as well. Bauer, the hockey equipment company, I think they're based out of Canada. They've done the same thing. They've stopped making hockey equipment, and they've started making like face masks and protective gear for doctors and surgeons and stuff to wear. And they're like alerting everybody if we have these and we're selling them, but there's no need. They're not making any hockey equipment right now because nobody's buying it.
Nike also, I think, stepped up and they announced they're going to make some stuff. And then everybody ran with that and jokingly said, are we going to have to go on the sneaker app to get it? And then am I going to not get it? Or
do you have Nike Plus? No, you don't. Sorry, it's not going to work for you, nurse. That's actually really cool. I'm glad that they're doing that. Let's get into Swag's bag of plums before we find out what he's got in his bag, baby. You ready for some photo ideas for Swag or BeefcakeSwag.com?
Yeah, what are all the social media editors, creators out there?
One of our P1s is taking this upon himself. By the way, we had another listener earlier chime in and say, I think it was his wife. He said, my wife creates websites, so I got you, boys. I'll help you
Let's
out.
Let's go.
So this is going to happen, man.
And if you're, by the way, if you're not Joe Exotic for Halloween, you missed it.
You could pull the look off. You really could.
You kind of could grow the facial very similarly.
I might be the only person in Oregon that hasn't seen this and has no desire to.
You need to watch it, Swagger.
No, I really don't.
Okay.
Why?
Why do you have that stance?
What is your... such a no person.
I'm not voyeuristic into train wrecks. I'm really not.
It's not...
Literally everybody who's seen it says it's incredibly entertaining and you still say no. There's not one person who's watched it and said they turned it off.
I guess I just don't get the mentality of saying no to so many things in your life. You're like, no, I'm not interested. It's like, how do you know? You haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
I do know myself.
I know myself.
I don't get entertainment out of train wrecks. I really don't.
But it's not, it's hard to say this because there's train wreck material. It's not just like the train wreck. It's like the making of the train that eventually gets to the wreck.
It still wrecks. I don't.
God.
No.
Does your wife hate that you say no to so many things?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, that would drive me nuts, you know?
We feel your pain.
We feel your pain, Lady Swag. She should just start turning it on. Swag ought to start watching it.
Give him a cocktail or three, and he would definitely sit down and watch.
Swag posting shirtless with the Pilots basketball team. Swag shirtless on the call of a Pilots game.
Oh, God.
Shirtless Swigard pumping tires. Shirtless Swigard sneaking out of the restroom after a swag bomb.
Anybody thinking of swag like Joe Dirt when he's at the carnival and he's shirtless and the chick he pretends is his stepsister's checking him out. He's got the cigarette and his mullet's blowing in the wind.
Shirtless Swigard in a fedora.
Oh.
A little classy shirtless Swigard. Swag in any number of 80s teen beat photo shots. Swag in a kitten or a puppy. Oh, that could be a good one right there.
Yeah, it would be a puppy. It wouldn't be a kitten.
Swag napping in his office cot. Swagard in biker shorts chasing cyclists out of the parking lot.
Swag in all leather with like a chain in his hand. And his titles are like, Walk Me Daddy.
No.
Swigard shirtlessly scrubbing the shower.
That you could get this weekend.
Swag golfing when someone snaps a photo. Not in my backswing.
Oh, God.
Not bad.
Anybody
all these
ready for my 9-iron?
Yeah. Who's ready to putt from the rough?
I need a rescue club.
Swag's head on the Old Spice guy and the horse. That's not a bad one.
Yeah, I could see that.
What else we got? Yelling at someone from close with a banana. All right, now we're going sideways.
Yeah, we sure are.
Okay, do you have anything in your bag of plums today?
Unfortunately, I have a sad note. I don't know if you guys saw this.
How sad are we going? Are you going to make me really sad?
Harlem Globetrotter legend Curly Neal has passed away at the age of 77.
Yeah,
and
how about
that? He was, like, when I was growing up and going to see the Globetrotters, when they were on ABC Wild World of Sports like six times a year playing the Generals, it was him and Geese Ausby. Those were the Globetrotters that I remember. His whole dribbling exposition where he would slide down on one side, keep his dribble, go to the other side, the half-court hook shots, all of those things. It was him and Geese Ausby that were the Globetrotters that I grew up with. I saw him a few times as kids going to Memorial Coliseum and just always had a smile on his face. He's one of, I think there's only five Globetrotters that actually had their jerseys retired. He is one of them. Meadowlark Lemon, Geese Ausby, Wilt Chamberlain, and I can't remember the other one, but I think it was after he retired and Geese retired that I think the Globetrotters really became
not a thing anymore.
Less relevant to basketball than they were. They were still a show and an entertainment, but their relevance to basketball,
right?
I think waned because those guys really had a lot of skill. But those teams that they put together back then,
they were on the what was the Cosby cartoon? Fat Albert.
Fat Albert. Yeah.
Like they Scooby Doo episodes.
They had their own Saturday morning cartoon show for a while.
Yeah, it's super sad, man. Because you're right, he is the face, one of the faces of the Harlem Globetrotters. I got that.
Did
smiling
you ever
thing.
See him when he was still? I can't remember. I mean,
I've seen plenty of highlights
for
of
a
him.
Long time. Yeah. By the time
I don't know
I
if
had.
I've ever been to a Globetrotters thing, to be honest with you,
I've never
know
been
if
to
I ever
a show.
Went to one.
But the what you're talking about, like I'm not going to pretend to know a whole ton about Curly Neal outside of just knowing his name. Mm-hmm. Hey, you're right. He always smiling. And like Magic Johnson in that way. Mm-hmm. Every time you saw him with a basketball, he's smiling, having fun.
What was his backstory as a player? Does he have one? Like before the Globetrotters? Was he a big college player or anything? I'm assuming. I mean, obviously he's a good player. He's got the ball handling skills. So clearly knew what he was doing. I didn't know if he had played in the NBA or the ABA or something, or bounced around, played a little in Europe. Any college hoops before that?
I'm trying to see. Played 6,000 games for him. He was a Globetrotter from 1963 to 1985.
Wow.
It says college Johnson C. Smith.
Johnson C. Smith University to the CIAA title. So I'm assuming it was small college,
like a
junior
division,
college, something like that. Yeah.
Would you guys want the Harlem Globetrotter life?
No.
Back then? In the 70s, 80s?
Well, they were stars then.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They were rock stars. They traveled the world. They were, you know, humanitarians. They were the first, you know, to go in basketball-wise to a lot of places in the world that hadn't had mainstream Western, you know, open world kinds of acts come through there. So...
I always enjoyed randomly seeing them because you mentioned the cartoon. I don't remember the Harlem Globetrotter cartoon, but I remember seeing them on Fat Albert reruns, and I always loved when they randomly would appear on Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, Scooby-Doo.
By the way, he played at Johnson C. Smith University in Charlotte, and he averaged 23 points a game, was named all CIAA guard. So obviously a really good basketball player and one of the best dribblers of all time.
Yeah.
So yeah, little part of my childhood, and anybody that's around my age, probably he was one of the star attractions.
Yeah.
So,
all right, there you go. Anything else in the bag, or is that it today?
No, that was kind of it. That and the, you know, see what people had in mind. But yeah, just, yeah. The pilot stuff not happening, folks. That.
Why? A little purple.
Might be the best one they've had in 5 years.
Yeah, a little purple.
No, I'm pretty sure TP is going to shoot that one down. Dude, nobody wants to see that.
Get the tattoo on your back.
If you're not sitting at home at the half court line with a pilot's leopard print thong,
yeah,
you're missing out on beefcakeswag.com.
Yeah, it's a lot of t-shirts.
I'm sure AD Scott Lakem, you know, SID Jason Bro right now, regular listeners, probably either throwing up in their mouths or
why not put him on this website?
Yeah, come on, we can get the whole pilot's team out there.
Let me fly your ship, ladies. This is your captain speaking.
I'll be your pilot today. Okay, there you go.
Wrong pilots, riverboat pilots, my friend. Yeah, you need boat themes.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. They're riverboat pilots? They're not airplane pilots? I didn't know that. Oh, did you know that?
Wait, what?
That they're not technical. They're riverboat pilots. Never knew.
The big pilot wheel logo, like the big wheel on steering ships.
Didn't put
ships.
Two and two together.
I learned something new every day.
I just assumed.
Up on the bluff overlooking the Willamette.
I thought the bluff was like the landing strip. Yeah. You fly off.
No.
You're already at elevation. You know, it's like you're on an airplane.
Yeah. No. It's a Catholic school, right? So you fly up to heaven. I just kind of assumed.
Flying the stairway to heaven.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Swags Plums every Thursday at 2:15. Okay, Hunters, episode 5. Are you up to date with us? Are you watching? Let us know. 55305 is a fan text line. We'll break it down, talk a little Dirt and Sprague book club coming up next.
Like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind, and we can dance.
Welcome back in. Happy opening day. Happy Sweet 16 day, everybody.
Why do you do that? Why?
I know, I'm sorry.
Would Oregon be playing today?
Hell yeah, they'd be playing today.
So would the Beavers.
In the NIT?
CBI?
No, they'd be in the NIT.
CIT. Well, I know why. Why are you that confident they'd be in the NIT? They were like 3 or 4 games above 500.
I think they'd be in the NIT.
God, and somehow Oregon State fan would care about that.
Hey,
that's
the NIT,
worst part.
Man. You're going to the tournament.
We're going to win the IT, baby.
That's right, baby.
Well, it could be hosting. It's on campus site.
That's right.
You could be down at Gill.
Big game going down tonight in Corvallis.
Sure wouldn't there, Bob. Sure would not be there.
Okay, let's get, by the way, bracketology final results coming up. Close up the show. Also, which sport will we see first? We have a poll question up on that. We'll see how listeners are feeling about which one's around the corner first.
Did you see that John guy, the first husband on the docuseries, got new teeth because his teeth methed out?
The John. Oh, no.
The bald-headed guy with tattoos all over.
He got new teeth?
I just went to TMZ to see what was going on in the celebrity world, and it's one of the top stories.
Well, good for him. He only had like one left.
He also has problems with Netflix and how they portrayed him.
He's beefing with Netflix and his pink camo assault rifle.
He's mad that they didn't show that he had new teeth because he got it well before they created this.
Oh, come on, man.
God, his old teeth got so methed out.
Yeah, that was a bad look. Bad look. Meth's hell of a drug. Okay, hey, Hunters, Dirt and Sprague Book Club, let's do this. Episode 5. We're all caught up now officially.
Yeah, all hell pretty much breaking loose.
It did. It starts with the scene in like what, South America, I think, is where it's taking place. Argentina, I believe.
No, it was.
Wasn't it?
It was.
Oh, here he goes. He probably ruined episode 6.
Was it Paraguay? It was Paraguay.
Okay.
It was what?
Paraguay.
Oh, okay. Oh,
where's that again? But you have dead kids, and I believe it's the lady that...
Our theory was right.
The taste test lady.
She's poisoning people via kid juice. In one room, the kids aren't dead. The other room, the kids are dead.
So that's where we begin, and then we end with a big shootout at the end of the episode with the young Nazi coming after him and coming close, wiping a few of them out.
Is it creepy to you that he's singing like an old timey romantic song as he's shooting at Al Pacino?
Very fitting.
Yeah.
Very fitting for his character. Also,
now who did he put in the trunk? Who were the dead people in the trunk?
Those were the two cronies
of the German kid who answers the phone for the colonel. Yeah.
And they're gonna duke it out at some point, right? I feel like him and the German kid are heading for a square off.
And I think we know who's winning.
Feels that way, at least.
It's Travis.
Yeah.
Travis, the American Nazi's for sure going to kill the German kid.
So a couple of the notes that I took down. One, we get the training scene. So Jonah's now training with the vet. And by the way, he saves the day again because he has like the PTSD flashback.
Yep.
And he's got to come in and he's got a TCB. So Jonah's starting to win me over again, episode by episode. And then you also get the glimpse of the torture that Al Pacino's character goes through.
You mean shoving manure down the old Nazi lady's throat?
No, his torture, at least first. Yeah. His torture to start the episode, and then he's torturing at the end of the episode. But
that kept the wife up. She couldn't go to sleep after that scene.
Dude, that was pretty intense, man.
I didn't scream after the first hit to the knee with the hammer.
Right, he only screamed one time, and then he regrets not killing him when he had the chance, and he says, if you ever get the chance, you got to do it.
Golly. I don't know how you don't scream with all the torture that he suffered.
I think the other questions, too, are why he killed that German gal so quickly. Because she had some dirt on him, it felt like.
He's done some shady stuff.
Like, he's got a backstory there. And
that's going to get exposed.
Don't spoil it, 55305, because we haven't finished the season yet. But he's got a backstory somehow, some way, that's going to come into play.
Now, let me give you a theory I have.
Okay, fire away.
Part of how he got rich was profiting off some of this Nazi Jewish stuff.
Could be, because even the banker guy hinted at it.
And there's guilt around it because he feels like he maybe have made some of his profit off his own people.
That's not a bad one.
That's my theory. And that's why he has started this little organization.
Sure.
And that's why the lady started to talk. He shot her in the head.
Yeah, before she could say anything, boom. And then the other two in the crew were like, what the hell, man? We didn't get any information out of her.
They weren't even convinced, I believe, at the time that it was her. They remember they snooped around the house a little bit and they finally figured out that, yeah, indeed, it was her.
Because that was the strange thing, because she kept denying it, despite eating poop for like 20 minutes of the episode.
Yeah.
Which was a little intense to watch.
Now, MI6 nun.
She's up to something, man.
Something weird brewing with her.
Something weird brewing. So she they're in the barn interrogating the one guy. She gets the names out of them, and then she immediately goes. I think she kills one other one first, and then she grabs that guy, and they drive off.
Yep.
So there's something going on there.
I think she might be taking him to torture him, but again, why did you leave your other people behind?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm starting to wonder if maybe if the double agent thing's coming in, like that's her contact with the Nazis, possibly.
Ah.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm afraid for you to talk because you're an episode ahead of us.
I'm only one episode ahead of you.
But you know what happens in this next episode, and Swag and I are left just like, what are we doing?
I feel like I'm doing a really good job.
Yeah. I thought you were ruining it in the very beginning by talking about opening it up, but I forgot that it was in
Paraguay. That was the opening scene of that episode. I went back and scrolled through it to make sure I refreshed my memory of all the things that happened in that episode.
Yeah.
And to not reveal anything I'm only one more episode ahead of you. So can we watch that tonight? Can we get it on like a pack, a Team Dirt and Sprague here?
Yeah, I'm in.
Okay.
All right.
It's like hour long.
I can find an hour at some point.
Now there's 10 total.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And so, and then I'm very curious, and maybe I was distracted by Isaac here. So, did you guys talk about the FBI agent?
We've not. She got beat up. Yeah, in the bathroom. Yeah.
So I'm curious if
taking
that's
a dump.
CIA, if that's Nazis, I don't know whose that is. I'm going to guess CIA.
It kind of feels that way, doesn't it? Because the CIA, I don't think she's figured this out quite yet.
But thought the guy was just trying to get a dinner out of her.
Yeah.
The journalist was just trying to sell her up the river.
But the CIA is the one that took some of these scientists and put them in the Nazi program because they are actually smart.
And that's what you found out
and helped him get to the moon.
From the doctor while they were torturing him before they killed him at the 4th of July party.
Boom.
And they tried to drown him in the seawater, but, you know.
Time is against them.
That was a good theory, at least. Good theory. That was an intense scene, though, because she gets the other names, and then Jonah's like, no, where are you going? She points it. She meant business.
Yeah.
She pointed the gun at him, was like, get the hell out of my way. Yep. I'm going to go take care of this. Yep. That was pretty intense. One other thing I did write down from the episode, the Alabama ad was hilarious.
Although it took me a second to
figure out what was going on,
and it was very non sequitur.
That was, but
that
of
thing
all, like
standing
the,
by itself, yes, but
oh, the Nazis living in Huntsville, Alabama.
Come on down to Alabama. You just come on down. Like I thought that was pretty hilarious. It doesn't fit really, but
the thing was, as intense as the other stuff was, and the torture going on, and that coming out of complete nowhere. I don't think it had. I don't know. It didn't have the desired effect, I think. I mean, it was all on its own, standalone, like would have been a great Saturday Night Live fake ad sketch sort of thing. But I'm like, okay, you just distracted me for a minute and a half as I'm trying to figure out what's going on with these.
It gives you a moment to think, and then you're like, wait, what is going on right now?
The chilling part is how many former Nazis lived here, and while they're torturing the guy in Alabama to get the information, and he's in the barn. Remember, he has a family. He's got a teenage daughter.
He does.
They're torturing him, and he basically is just like, please don't kill me. I've changed. I've learned. I have a family now. A lot of them, this is the mentality they carried. And the funny part about the Huntsville thing, it's funny and then it's not funny, is how true that is.
Yeah.
And when you read about the reality of Nazis getting out of Germany and living in different countries, cities, states, etc., it's frightening, but it's so, so true that like places like tiny towns in Alabama, that happened. And to be honest with you, a lot of them never got discovered. So there are actually people in the South throughout the United States,
third generation or whatever,
whose dads, their parents, their great grandparents, Nazis, and they didn't know.
Wild stuff. By the way, that was, for those of you who were probably like, what the hell are these guys talking about right now? We are doing a book club.
Are we still doing that?
I don't know. I guess
listeners go in and out.
Yeah,
so.
I'm sure there's some that are like, what the hell's going on right now? So we are doing what we're calling a book club, where we're watching a TV show all together at the same time. That TV show is Hunters. It is on Amazon, and it is fantastic. We're just breaking down episode 5. There's 10 episodes in the entire season.
Halfway done.
So you can hey, look, we're all binging stuff right now because we can't go anywhere and we're all under quarantine. So if you want to catch up, if you haven't started yet, try and catch up because these guys are going to watch episode 6 tonight. So we'll talk about that one briefly on the show tomorrow as we wrap this one up, and then we'll move on to another TV show. But for those of you who are wondering what the hell we're doing, it's our Dirt and Spray Book Club. Hunters is the show on Amazon, so go follow along. If you're looking for a TV show to watch, it's a really good one. Episode 6 next up, and we'll watch that one tonight. Okay, let's get the results from Bracketology, the best sports movie villain of all time. Also, what sport do we see first? We'll close up there next on the I saw a pretty heartwarming thing today on Twitter, and it was from Cowboy Tim. Have you heard about Cowboy Tim?
Never heard of Cowboy Tim.
Did you know that there is a National Cowboy Museum?
You know, I'd assume there was, but you know, I don't know where it is. Texas, Oklahoma.
Sounds like there'd be one, right? There's got to be a cowboy museum somewhere. I actually don't know where it is. If somebody knows, 55305, let us know. But there is one out there, and they have a Twitter handle, at NCWHM, okay? And they are a little short on staff, and the museum is closed, obviously, under the current climate, so they're not having people come through the museum. So they wanted a little social media presence. So they had security guard Tim take over their Twitter account because he's like one of the only people that's left in the building. And old Tim tweeted out a picture of himself. He's just a normal looking old dude. He's got a full Manchu. He just got a cowboy hat on. It's a good little look, right? Well, he took to Twitter, and the funny part about this and the wholesome part about this is he has no clue how to use Twitter. So his first tweet reads, "Hello, my name is Tim, and I am the head of security for the Cowboy. I have been asked to take on the additional duty of social media management while the museum is closed. I'm new to this, but excited. My team will also continue to protect and monitor the museum. Thanks, Tim. Send."
Is this like when we asked Swag to get on Instagram, and he was like, what the hell are we doing?
It's something like that, right? Trying to figure it all out. So he does not know how to use hashtags. So for the first couple of tweets, he was taking pictures of things around the museum, typing out the word hashtag because they told him to use them. So he would say hashtag, type it out, John Wayne, or hashtag cowboy boot. Couldn't quite figure it out. He closes every single tweet, thanks, Tim. This one, hashtag John Wayne. Lucas, my grandson, told me to use hashtags. Quite enjoyed that. He put up boots that said hashtag John Wayne again.
Yeah.
Then he sent on a couple of tweets. One read, Lucas, can you read this? The next one, Twitter tips, please. And then followed that up with, sorry, I thought I was Googling that. Thanks, Tim. This one was one of my favorites. A picture of an old photographer who took like old West photographs. Said, this is a photo of her. She looks like someone I'd want to have a beer with. Thanks, Tim.
I love that he's ending all of these with thanks,
isn't it great?
Tim.
There was one where with a set from Toy Story with Woody and what's the girl character?
Jesse.
Woody and Jesse. And he's filming them, and then he snaps away and then snaps back really quick, where he said, watch this movie with the grandkids. Try and catch them moving. So, thanks, Tim. Didn't catch him. They're just still there in one spot. And then he finally figures out hashtags. Somebody lets him know how to use it, so I quite enjoyed that. I'll read one more here. This one was funny. He said, here's a sculpture by Frederick Remington called The Bronco Buster, cast in 1918. What do you guys think of it? Seth in marketing told me that asking questions on social media is good for engagement. Let's get engaged, LOL. Thanks, Tim. By the way, I'm happily married to Tina, though. We needed this guy in our life.
Maybe we should reach out for Cowboy Tim.
Hey, look, it sounds like he's got a lot of time on
his
hands.
What's the handle?
It is at NCWHM. It's the National Cowboy Museum. So this all happened, it looks like, about 6 days ago.
It's got 238,000 Twitter followers.
They're starting to go viral now.
This is awesome.
I think he did it on March 20th. It looks like all these tweets were dated. So he just walked around the entire museum and was just tweeting out things from the Cowboy Museum.
If we get him on the show and he doesn't end the interview with, thanks, Tim. He's really missed his mark on this. Now, what I have thought about in listening to somebody like him using something he never thought he would, I think the missed mark here during coronavirus and quarantine is I wish MySpace was as big as Facebook just to see how many older folks who don't use it would have an account and what they would do with like top eight friends. Would it be like a nurse at their nursing home?
Yeah, are you changing them up?
How many grandkids feel left out by not making the cut?
Dude, the top eight friends was quite the... It was quite the battle, like getting into somebody's top eight or staying in somebody's top eight. It was like the Seinfeld episode of Speed Dial when Jerry knocks off the stepmother as like number one on the speed dial, and she'd worked forever to get up there, and she was pissed about it.
Well, for a lot of the smoke shows, because it ended, I want to say like my first year at OSU is around when it kind of phased out and Facebook took over. But one of the ways to see a smoke show's relationship status, if they hit it, was who was the number one?
Yeah, who was number one?
And if it was almost always a guy, it was kind of the assumption that's the boyfriend. She has a boyfriend.
That was it. You got to stay away.
So that was one way to kind of track it.
It was.
But I think if you use this for grandparents, especially ones in retirement homes, man, you would probably see about three or four ladies in their top eight, and you would kind of assume that's the bone zone.
That's right.
Because guess what's prevalent in retirement homes?
That's right.
STDs. They're old. They don't get visited a lot. There's a lot of sex going on in these places.
A lot of sex going down, man.
I had a, before my grandma passed away, I heard a story of one of her best friends in a retirement home. And she's like, oh, yeah, she gets around all the time. And I'm like,
wait, what?
How do you know that?
I don't want to know that information.
She shared it.
Don't fill me in on that. Damn
and then
it.
I'd read about how retirement homes have a lot of STDs.
Oh, God. By the way, Cowboy Tim is he's still tweeting as of today. So you can go find.
I might have to go to this .org website and reach out to see if we could get Tim on tomorrow.
Yeah. At NCWHM. Go check him out on Twitter. He's hashtag the cowboy. It looks like. Is in all of his tweets now, and then he closes them all. Thanks, Tim. So he's still walking around the museum and taking pictures of everything. Are we ready for the results, the final tallies of what we went through on the bracketology today?
All right, let's go.
That we know who's all going to win, but which one would you guess was the widest margin? A reminder of your matchups, White Goodman, Jack Parkman, Bud Kilmer, Kevin O'Shea, Shooter McGavin, Van Walderberg siblings, or Ivan Drago, Judge Schmales?
Shooter.
Shooter McGavin.
Yeah. You say Shooter's the...
Nobody likes Shooter.
Shooter was only, by a hair.
Only Shooter likes
Shooter.
Oh, wow.
By a hair, Shooter McGavin
the
won.
The Twins came surging back, huh?
It was 84.7% to 15.3%, so that was a pretty big blowout. But just a hair behind it, White Goodman at 84.3%, so only a 0.3 percentage difference. White Goodman advances past Jack Parkman.
I'm good. I'm kind of glad we got Parkman out of there.
Yeah, Parkman's gone. Van Walderberg siblings are gone. The other two, the closest one of the day was Bud Kilmer, Kevin O'Shea, and that stayed true all afternoon. Bud Kilmer advances 63% of the vote to 37% of the vote. So Kevin O'Shea's gone, and then you got Ivan Drago advancing past Judge Schmales, 67 to 32%.
Most of those percentages are pretty spot on with what they should be.
I feel like too, yeah. Pretty wide margins, but that's what happens in the first round. It'll heat up. We'll have four more matchups. I'll tweet them out tomorrow. So go to at Dirt and Sprague, at 1080 The Fan, follow along, and you can vote on all those. Thanks to all the Texan votes as well. I also threw this one out there. Buddy sent it to me and said we're just got some buddies who are curious, and we want to know what your listeners think. What sport will we see back first? No, I didn't do individual sports because it sounds like Dana White doesn't give an F and he's going to bring them back whenever he wants. Golf could be back sooner maybe because social distancing's easier. So I went with team sports that have all been held off. So not football because that hasn't started yet. So your four options, obviously baseball, which would have started today, hockey, which got shut down, basketball, and soccer. All those seasons were already underway. Which one do we see first?
I think baseball.
You think baseball?
Yeah, I do. Why? I don't know. I think most of these, not most, a lot of teams, not even a lot, a few teams already kind of playing empty stadiums.
Sure.
I think when
you reality get, for a lot of teams.
You get the daily doubleheaders. I think some people are familiar with having a few hundred people in the stands for the first game versus having a much larger crowd for the nightcap.
Sure.
And we've had this before, right? Remember the Baltimore game with the protests going on? They played a game with nobody in attendance. It was weird.
Super weird.
But they were able to do it. I would go baseball.
We had one idea from a listener earlier on basketball. By the way, baseball won 45.9%. Basketball finished second, 36.9%. We had one idea from a listener on the basketball thing earlier. And look, it's never going to happen, but I loved the notion of it. He said, why don't we fly all of the NBA teams to one kind of random city that hasn't been affected by the coronavirus at all? Make sure you test them all so they're all clean.
Well, I was going to say,
you got to make sure all the basketball players are clean. Sure. You travel them all into one place and it's like a high school gym and you make everybody play the games in that one stadium.
Doesn't Tim Duncan still have some connections in the U.S. Virgin Islands or something like that?
I was like, look, that's never going to happen, but it's kind of a fun idea. Like some random, what, the least hit places like North Dakota right now, you fly them all in to play at some high school in North Dakota for a month, finish the season up.
Yeah, the problem would be the testing part.
Sure, you got to test them all. I get that. But I was like, dude, that's kind of a funny idea. All of them in one small town in the middle of nowhere playing basketball
games.
Can
we not put them on the Virgin Islands? Like, imagining the one person gets by that didn't get tested.
Yeah, then the whole island's got it.
Damn it.
There you go. If you missed any of the show today, Les Schwab Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. Andrew Greif joined the show. We also talked to Robert Moore, who did the podcast on the Tiger King, and then Corey Brock on a little MLB. So you can go check all those. We'll tweet them out at Dirt and Sprague and at 1080 The Fan. Bracketology continues. We'll watch another episode of Hunter tonight. Break it down.
Mike Sando, NFL reporter, on tomorrow at 2.
Mike Sando at 2.
Oh, yeah. You guys, I love the fact that you both have your baseball team's caps on.
Hell yeah, man.
I think it's an unwritten thing amongst baseball people that on opening day, you just wear your hat. Nice job.
Thank you.
I even brought my bullpen jacket in.
Look, I'm not going to pretend to be a fan on the level of you, Dirt, or Swag, or even Mike. But it's, you know, I'm missing baseball today.
Should have been on all day,
yes.
Man. Should have been all day. All day.
All day.
We miss you, baseball. We miss you, sports. Hope everybody's doing okay. Thank you for being a part of our Thursday. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one's next, listening to 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.